Come on. Hi. I confessing to me. I couple confessing to me. About God, have already preached the message that I'm open on preaching today. From Billy, Lisa Billy, from Pastor Keith reading that letter to the worship. I mean, it was like God was confirming everything I'm going to say today. I'm like, wow, okay. But also, that would be a challenge that I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do that, Lord. And then Billy got up, Lisa, and she said, but she said, and now I feel like, Lord is telling me, you better do what I told you to do. So, it's going to be a very interesting time. My next confession is, I never thought I would be up here again in this capacity with that mindset. And what I mean by that is I spent the majority of my career in church. I worked for several large churches in Georgia. I traveled around the country speaking at several large churches. I've been that deeply involved in church my whole career. Before I even came out, I seen some things about the church that I didn't like. I seen a little bit of corruption and all of that. And then I came out. And I would just get out of the church altogether. So here I am. I always see corruption in the church. And I just get out of the church. So I had a bit of this in my mouth for a long time about church and the operation of the church. Then damn get up and say, I give you my hurt. And I move forward. And so in the last couple of years to be here at TBA, God been turning my heart back toward the church. And God is saying, I'm going to use you. Then my calling on your life for outward words and outward will be. And so I am a little bit of deja vu for me to be up here wanting to be up here knowing that this is my calling. This is what God wants me and my ministry and my life, and to finally be able to accept that and move on is a great, great feeling. So I said, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be involved in TPA. I would like to try teaching a little bit to my favorite book. And now, who knows what my favorite book is? Take a wild guess. Anybody want to guess my favorite book of the Bible? I know you know, don't you? You don't count. My favorite book in the book of Philippians. I absolutely love that book. That book is more about the Christian experience than the Christian conduct. Paul is more focused on the Christian experience. And that is one of the books that Paul wrote in prison. That I believe he sent a missionary journey. He in prison and he reflecting on his trip around the world on the mission. And he writing a letter to the church of Philippi. Now the first thing I want you to understand about this is Paul never meant to go to the church of Philippi. He was on his way to Asia. They said that they wasn't hearing the gospel in Asia. There was a roadblock in the north. So he had to go into Europe. And that was when he found his way to the church in Philippi. Very important that you know that Paul never wanted to be there. He never wanted to be at the church. God literally brought him to the church. And he reflected on that experience. I tend to go a little bit fast, so let me get out with my notes. So Paul in jail, and he writing to the church of Philippi, a church that he was for to go in. So the year 11, the church, get a letter from Paul. Now, I got to tell you that getting a letter from Paul back then was not a good thing. You did not want to get a letter from Paul. It was kind of like getting a pink slip in the mail. You just did not want to see that because Paul was known for telling the church what it needed to hear. It didn't matter what Paul was going to say, what he wanted to say, because his passion was to get the church what God wanted it to be. So, he finished writing a letter to the church of Philippians, a church that he did not want to be at from the very beginning. But yet, this letter was different from any other letter he wrote. This letter to the church of Philippians was a little bit different. Why? You wonder why? At the church, Paul had formed a bond with these people. It was the first church he had been to through all his trouble that he formed a bond with them. He loved these people. I got a feeling they ate together, they prayed together, they cried together, they went through, they did life together. This was the first church that Paul was like, oh, I love the church. I love these people. I'm connected to these people that I never want to end up going in the first place. Had it not been for the Lord, I would not end up at the church. And now he has set a vine with these people. But before we get into that, I want to talk about what we do when we form a bond with a group of people. I don't know where that's coming from, but can we go way back to the beginning? I'm sorry, you are. So what do we do when we form a bond with people? The first thing is that emotional high. We get so excited. We love these people. We love the church. We want to be there day in and day out. It's a wonderful place to be, and we can't wait to go back. And for a couple of months, it's awesome. Then number two happened. We realize that so-and-so isn't perfect. Let me get my notes. We realize that so-and-so isn't perfect. We find that flaw in that friend that we got so close with, and then the truth come out. The truth come out that we wasn't really going to church for our relationship with God. We weren't going for that relationship with so-and-so, and now we found out that so-and-so isn't perfect. That so-and-so have flaws. So-and-so let me down. So-and-so said that about me. I said that about me. So-and-so look at me funny. Please. Do you know how many people look at me funny every day of my life? Girl, please. I mean, I say, girl, please. I know where I'm at. Girl, please. That is a poor excuse. And then we do number three. We use that four to break the bond that we have with our people. Now, back to Philippians. By no means was it the perfect church. The church that Paul found a bond with was by no means perfect. That he had some issues with some other people at that church. And when you look later in the book, around 4 or 5, he begins to talk about the issue that he had with the church. But yet, he writes the sweet letter to the Philippians. But I wrote a question in my notes. I said, how do Paul respond to the first church he bonded with, knowing it was a flaw? So what did Paul say to the church he founded when he had nowhere else to go He in jail. He's talking about the church that he accidentally went to, but he had nowhere to go. How did he approach the church? Now that we chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Jesus Christ who in Philippi, including the overseer and deacons, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Father Jesus Christ. Thank my God and my and all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy. The first thing I want you to see in verse 4 is the bond that he had with the church humbled him. Paul, in the letter to the church, Paul usually reminded everybody that he is an apostle, that he is the great apostle Paul, that how he taught out many of his letters to the church. But in that one, he said, a bond servant. I'm one of you. And how much can be a part of the church? Paul identifies himself with them. Just a servant who formed a bond with these people. He a bond servant of Christ. And then he said to all the saints, to everyone in the church, not just the leadership, but to everyone in Christ Jesus. He did not let one person ruin his whole, ruin the perspective of the whole church. He probably didn't get along with everybody in that church. It probably some people he did not like in that church. But he did not let that one person run his perspective on the whole church to all people. Verse 2, Paul wanted two things from the church, for all the churches he went to. Paul wanted grace and peace. You hear about it in almost every book he writes to the church. He asked for grace and peace. See, Paul knew in order for the church to be a peaceful place, there must be some grace involved. You can't have peace without having some grace involved. I'm not one to tell you to write this now, but let me tell you, write this now. Church is a miserable place without forgiveness. You hear me? Church is a miserable place without forgiveness. You will find yourself coming in the door, sitting in the back of the church with your arms folded half an impossible. But I get into the seventh. Why? Because you have malice in your heart for so-and-so. And you barely get to the seven and want the pot to leave you out the door. What? Because sin is a miserable place without forgiveness. Number three. Verse 3 and 4. I'm sorry. Paul said, I thank my God for you. As I go about my day and my life, I think of you. And I'm praying for you. That the first three things Paul said. I'm praying for you, I'm thinking about you, and I'm thankful for you. Now, in retrospect, Paul refused to take the church for granted. Paul was just in the people that God allowed him to form a bond with. And doesn't mean that the situation is perfect and things that doesn't happen, situation don't occur. It wasn't the perfect situation. But rejoicing means that you don't let the flaws, the bad stuff in life, overshadow the blessings in life. And that doesn't mean that everything is perfect. But it means that you don't let the imperfect things overshadow the blessings in your life. I'm not a testimony to that. What am I a testimony to? Because I tell you that life is hard in the wheelchair. But I am so blessed and thankful for what the Lord has done in my life and through my life. That, my friend, is rejoicing in the Lord. I'm glad that I am. So what should we be doing for our church? We should be thinking about the thing God is showing us in this fellowship. We shouldn't walk out the door and forget that message, that time, what the Lord have told us at the church. And what Paul said, I think about you daily. Even when I'm away, I'm thinking about what the Lord is doing. Number two, we ought to thank God for giving us a church, for using the church in our lives. I don't know about you, but there's no other place I can go and be who God made me to be. I'm so thankful that He brought me to a place where I can be me. No mente. Si se puede con continuo, si mi puede en el chat, hacer el before, hacer el que, I've been all over the country. I've been to some very, very good churches, but I never felt the presence of the Lord. Like I feel it here. Feel me constantly thanking God for his presence and praying that that presence still remains here every Sunday. Y'all don't take that for granted. And don't come and in the church you go to. We cannot take it for granted. I'm almost there. Now I'm going to preach. Paul knew of all the churches in Hebrew, there was no church like this church. And I'll be thankful about it. I'll be thankful about all the churches you've been to. You probably find one on every corner just like it. But when you think about this church, there are very few churches in the country that you find like TPC. Paul knew he found something special at the church of Philippi. And he wasn't about to take that for granted. Let me see where I'm at one moment. You don't know. I'm sure that somebody at Paul, well, why do you have such a heart for the church in Philippi? And I think Paul looked back and rested a bit and said, you know, the church that I've been to. You don't know the thing that I saw. You don't know the people I've encountered. And resurrect there in a major church. I love these people. These are the first people I'm able to connect with. They're the first group that I'm able to be me with. I want to read this. Begin to really think about where we've been. What changes we've been to. I'm a major, I give it all to you. But I got it. We need to think about those other trips we've been to before we take that one for granted. You know where you are the first time you walk through the door. You know where you were the night before what was going through your mind before you walk through the door. You know the things that you thought about doing. You know how you almost walk completely away from God before you walk to the door, don't you? Don't you? You know how close you were to giving up before you walked to the door. Let me tell you something. I admit I attempted suicide twice before I came to God. Twice. And here we are, taking what the Lord gave us for granted. Because there's some imperfect people. Well, you know, I thought people are no more perfect than I am. Every imperfection you find in someone else kind of cut on an imperfection. You know, you have in you. And so you got to break bonds and break relationships that God has given you. My last paragraph said, I'm a reader. And if you don't remember, you need to remember. You need to remember where you were before God found you. You know, I said in the beginning, can you move it? No, I said in the beginning, it rare to find a church that you can praise and worship and fellowship with God at your at a very special. And well, you know, these are challenging to worship. Just throw away, you know, what you think someone else may be thinking about you, and just worship. Get a memo where God brought you from. And a song that they open to play, and you will allow me, I'm a little bit nervous about doing that. And then Lisa came up and said what she said. Get listen to this song. What I do, what I think the Lord has told me to do.
through the tears that made her blind. She felt such pain, some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, there's no place here for her kind. Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her face, until at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard. As she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster, and I've come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster vase. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears, and I dry them with my hair. You weren't there the night he found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his love all around me. And you don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster. Forget the way life used to be. I was a prisoner to the sin that had me bound. I spent my days, poured my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I found. Until when Jesus came to me and healed my soul with the wonder of his touch. So now I'm giving back to him all the praise he's worthy of. I've been forgiven, and that's why don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and dry them with my hair. You are there the night Jesus found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me.
Father, we take so many things for granted. Honey. Oh, Father, we thank you for the cost of that alabaster box. Those tears. The pain. The effort. Nobody here can know what we've been through. Just like we don't know what you go through every day. But I know one thing. You were there. And you found me. And you found Christopher. We thank you for that. So what I pray is that you would just remember the cost that you took when you went to the cross for us. And forgive us for taking things for granted. Forgive us for not appreciating the many things that you blessed us with. So we give you praise, Jesus, because you are worthy of it. So I thank you for what you've done for us. And I praise you because of who you are. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Thank you.